new commandment from John chapter 13, verse 31 through 38, as we continue to our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Again, this passage took place on the Thursday evening at the Lord's Supper, the day before Jesus went to the cross. This is when Jesus and his disciples gathered for the evening meal before the Passover. Biblical scholars believe that chapter 13 through 17 all took place in the upper room at the Lord's Supper. And John recorded many things that the Lord had spoken to them about on that night. Let's go ahead and pick up where we left off last Sunday. If you brought your Bible with you, please turn to the Gospel of John chapter 13. Follow along at the wall or follow along in your Bible. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's look at verses 31 and 32. The Apostle John wrote, "So when he, Judas, had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately.'" Speaking immediately as is raising him from the dead, his resurrection. Now that Judas is gone, which we read last week, he went out into the night to betray Jesus. Everything is set in motion now. The betrayal, the arrest, and Jesus' crucifixion the next day. And Jesus turns to his 11 disciples and he pours out his heart to the true believers. And the first thing that Jesus wants them to know that this is all about his glory, as he just said in the scripture, that he will be glorified through his death and the Father will be glorified in him. In chapter 17 of this book, which we'll eventually get to, in verses 1 through 5, Jesus prayed out loud to the Father, and he said this, speaking of his glory. He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, in whom you sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do, Father. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with which the glory which I had with you before the world was. Glorify me, Father, which we had before the world was." Jesus knew on this night, this Thursday evening, before he was going to the cross on Friday, that he was on the countdown of glory. He was about to be glorified through the cross, and here's the outcome of his suffering. Many will become justified in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Many will become justified. This points to the outcome and the purpose of him coming: justification and restoration for mankind. And many will become justified, saved, through Jesus Christ, through the cross. His suffering leads to victory, and he will be glorified, exalted, and rewarded, because he will justify many through his sacrifice. God the Father has glorified his Son, Jesus Christ, through his death, through the cross. God sent forth his Son. Listen, God sent forth his Son for this very purpose, which is the heartbeat of the gospel. He sent forth his Son for you and me. This is the purpose, right? What did Jesus tell us back in chapter 10 of this very book? Jesus said, I have come so that you may have life. That's why I came, to save you. That was his purpose. Jesus came to save us, redeem us, and reconcile us back to God through him. This is the purpose of him coming, to the praise of his glory. Jesus came to provide salvation for sinners, and that deserves glory, amen? He came to destroy the power of sin and death, and that deserves glory. He completed the work that the Father gave him, and that deserves glory. Augustine was a bishop in the 4th century. He said this, the cross is the pulpit from which God preached his love to the world. Very well said. That we must all go to the cross to meet God, because that is where he showed his great love for us, at the cross. Let's take a look at verses 33 and 35 through 35. Jesus went on to say, look at this, little children, very loving. That is very loving. Little children. He's talking about little children. I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I have said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come for now. So now I say to you, a new commandment. Look at this, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Highlight that in your Bible. That you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. Look at what Jesus says after this in verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. Amen. All will know that you are indeed my disciple because of your love for each other and for me. Wow. We read in the beginning of this chapter, in verse 1, that Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. To the end in Greek means to the limit. He loved them to the highest limit, agape love. Love for all eternity. Jesus loves his own to the highest limit. This is what he's telling us, right? Divine love for you and me. Everything that God promises, listen, flows from his love. Every promise that he gives you in the Bible flows from his love for you. I promise this to you because of my great love for you. When you call on me in the day of trouble, and I deliver you, and you shall glorify me. That is motivated by my love for you to help you. It's beautiful. And you know what? He expects it back. He expects it back. He wants us to love him back. John summed this up in his epistle. What did John write? He says, we love him because he what? First loved us. Right? We love him because he first loved us. That he sent his son to die for us. As Christians, we are to be known for our love, just as the hymn we just sung. We are to be known for our love for each other and for the Lord. We are marked by our love, and we love to glorify God. Right? When you're out there speaking to other people, you love to glorify God. When people see our love for each other, this is right? Listen, when people see our love for each other and our love for Christ, Jesus said, by this all will know that you are my disciple. By your love for one another. What marks a true believer is something that happens in the heart. This all takes place in the heart because a true believer has been born again. Has been born again. They've been regenerated. They have been transformed. Right? Ezekiel wrote about this in Ezekiel 36, 26. God said, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. There's a change in the heart when you surrender your life to Christ and the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. We become born again. Now, this is important for you to understand. That's an act of God. You cannot do that. Right? You've heard me say before, you cannot born yourself. Right? You couldn't born yourself the first time. Your mother did all the work. Okay? You can't born yourself again. It is the work of God in the heart of the believer. It's all God. Because your faith in Him, your trust in Him, He does the work inside of the person, right? Right? Your desires tend to change, right? When you become born again, right? The sinful things that you used to love to do, you now hate. And the righteous things that you used to hate to do, you now love to do. You love helping others. You love coming to church. You love reading God's word. You love being around other believers. You love to pray for other people. That wasn't you prior to coming to Christ. That's God in you, changing you from the inside out. Born again. What did Paul write to the Corinthians? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, right? Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are what? New. Born again. It's an act of God in the heart of the believer. Our character changes. Our affections change. Our desires change. It becomes easier forgiving people. It becomes easier loving people. Not just your little intermediate family. I'm talking about others. You love them. You pray for them. That's the Holy Spirit work in the believer. You and I didn't have that in us years ago. But since God has taken up residency inside your soul, oh, you do now. You know, one of the simplest explanations of a Christian comes from the fruit of the Spirit. If you brought your Bible with you, turn to Galatians 5. Turn to Galatians 5. There's the simplest explanations of a Christian comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, why don't you go down to verse 22? I'll let you get there for a minute. I hear a few more pages going. Man, nothing like hearing Bible pages in church. Praise the Lord. His word being looked at. Oh, warms my heart. Look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Look what it says. Paul writes to the Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which means patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit of the Spirit. This is the evidence of the Spirit's presence inside the believer, which is the evidence of transformation, regeneration, conversion, born again. God changes us from the inside out. Notice in Galatians 5, I want you to notice something. The first thing listed in the fruit of the Spirit, you see what it is, right? You see it right in your Bible? What's the first thing listed? Love. Everything else flows from love. Love, number one. Then comes joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's all the fruit of the Spirit in the believer. All those things flow through the believer out of love. Amazing. And the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit lives within every true believer, inside of you. The fullness of God that lives within every true believer. The Holy Spirit of God that lives within every true believer. Those traits. And if you are in Christ Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that was in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Elijah, and so on, lives in you. Same Holy Spirit. We are joined with one Spirit of God. Isn't that something? The same Spirit that was in Abraham, Daniel, Joseph, Paul, lives in you. Same one. Spirit of God. Same Holy Spirit of God comes to live within the believer when we come to Jesus through repentance and faith and place all our faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone to be saved. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. Amazing. Before we move on to our final verses, when Jesus said in these verses that we just went over, when Jesus told the 11 disciples, he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. This is important to know, that love has always been a commandment. Okay? But these men, they hadn't laid a hold of true love at this point. He said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Commandment has always been love. It's always been a commandment. But I want to give you a new commandment because you haven't laid a hold of love, true love. So I'm giving you this as a new commandment. Remember the other gospel writers wrote that at the Last Supper, these fellows were still trying to figure out who the greatest was. Right? We went over that, right? I wasn't speaking German then. Right? We went over that. They said, the other gospel writer said, right up until the Last Supper, these men were still trying to figure out who's going to be the greatest. I wonder if it's going to be you, Peter. I think it's going to be John. Filled with pride. That's what pride does. They were still trying to figure out. Not one of them, it's recorded in the Bible, stooped down and said, hey, Jesus, don't wash their feet. Let me do it. You are God in the flesh. Please, Lord Jesus, let me wash their dirty feet. No. Not one of them said that. They hadn't laid a hold of true love. They were still filled with pride. Well, if John goes down and washes feet, maybe I will. Pride. Jesus had been telling them throughout this gospel, he's been telling us, I want you to love one another, right? He said, I want you to serve one another. And he's talking to the church too, by the way. He's talking about us. I want you to humble one another. I want you to care for one another as I have cared and loved you. That's a command from our Lord Jesus Christ. He's been saying it all through this gospel. And now he says, listen, love one another like I have loved you. Care about each other's lives. That's how love acts. That's true love. You know, Jesus brings love to a whole new level, huh? He brings this to a whole new level, love. What it means to really love. And the thing is, these men, they witnessed it, but they hadn't laid a hold of it. until after Jesus was crucified and he showed himself after his resurrection. Let's look at our final verses, verses 36 through 38. John wrote, Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, where are you going? They're distraught because Jesus had been talking about, I'm going away. They can't defathom. What do you mean going away? So Peter says, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered Peter, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Verse 38, Jesus answered Peter, will you lay down your life for me, Peter? Most assuredly I say to you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow till you've denied me three times. Wow. Peter, most assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you've denied me three times. Jesus knew how frail they were in their faith. Man, we are frail in the flesh, are we not? Very frail in the flesh. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing, right? The Bible tells us. And as we know, Peter did deny Jesus three times. And after he did, Peter remembered that Jesus said that he would. And he went away and he wept bitterly. In chapter 21, after Jesus' resurrection, before he ascended back to heaven, he met Peter and he asked Peter three times. See how this lines up, right? He denied him three times. And just before Jesus ascended, he went over to Peter and he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Three times. Peter answered him three times, yes, Lord, I love you. You know I do. Peter actually started to get annoyed as he went down the third time. He goes, Lord, you know I love you. And what did Jesus tell him? Go feed my sheep. If you love me, go feed my sheep. And let me tell you something. Peter never looked back until he was crucified himself. He never looked back. Peter was eventually executed by the Roman authorities. He was crucified because of his faith in Christ. But he requested, as most of you know, to be crucified upside down, because he didn't feel worthy enough to be crucified in the same way his Lord and Savior was. You see the transformation there? You're talking about a very prideful man. Becomes so humble, he says, you can crucify me, but do it upside down. I don't deserve to die like Christ. You see what Jesus will do to the heart and so on? He took that pride right out of that fellow. It's amazing. He was totally fine. Crucify me. I know where I'm going. But crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy. Wow. That's a humble man. Jesus told Peter, he told all 11 of them, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now. You shall follow me afterward. You know, he's talking about right after this life. You will follow me after this life. And guess what? All of them are in heaven with the Lord. For eternity. And every believer in Christ in this room will be with them as well one day. I'll close with this. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians and to us in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Listen to what he wrote. Therefore, one of my favorite words, right? Now that you know this, Paul writes this a lot. Hey, listen, now that you know this, how many times am I going to tell you? Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And look at what he writes. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and gave himself for us. Wow. Walk in love. Amazing. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to speak into our hearts every day. Every day we pick our Bibles up, it's your word. We ask you to open our hearts and our minds, that you'd speak to us through your word, not just when we gather on Sundays or we gather together on Thursdays at the Bible study. Every day. Keep speaking to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.